Okay, then we'll just close the door so we can get started. Oh. Okay. So I've also said the last thing we discussed on Tuesday was the Sefer Truma. And he writes in Hilchas Tefillin that as far as tefillin are concerned, the sofer has to write the tefillin with his right hand. Again, keep in mind we're not talking about Hilchas Shabbos now. You know, if I tell you that you're not chayev on Shabbos from Melechas Ksiva unless you write with your right hand, that I understand very well, because in Shabbos there's halacha called Melechas Machsheves. And you have to do it just that way, just so, in a perfect way, in the normal way. And it's unusual to write with your left hand. And that's called kilachayad, that's a shinui. But now we're talking about tefillin that's outside of the range of Hilchas Shabbos. Now you might have said that the Sefer Truma is giving a recommendation to the sofer. He should be very careful as he writes the Sefer Torah or the Tefillin that he should use his right hand, because he's going to be a lot more successful with his right hand than with his left hand. But then he goes, he says, "Afilu b'di'evit pasul ikasav b'smol," and that's pretty revolutionary, because what he's saying is that the definition of ksiva, not just in Hilchas Shabbos, is to write with your right hand. If you write with your left hand, that's not ksiva. Again, we're talking about a righty. I'm not going to repeat myself. You know that on your own. And how does the Sefer Truma prove this thesis? He quotes the Gemara here at the beginning of Perek Abona, our sugya, that the Gemara says that when it says in the Mishnah at the beginning of Hilchas Ksiva, of Melechas Kosev, it says Bein v'yamin Bein v'smol. So the Gemara says Bishleim ha'yamin l'chayev mishum d'der k'siv v'kach ela v'smol amai ha'ein d'er k'siv v'kach. And the Gemara says that it's talking about someone who's sholeit v'shtei yodov, that's Abaye Shita. And Rav Yaakov Shita is that this is Rav Yossi who holds that Yechayev mishum rosh. We don't pass like Rav Yossi, so we paskin like the Tanakhama that there's only an is a chiyuv of kosev, and therefore, if you write with your left hand, you're not chayev. Says the Sefer Truma, to the same extent that writing with your left hand on Shabbos doesn't constitute a ksiva, as far as Melech Shabbos is concerned, who adin, as far as writing tefillin and mezuzahs and so forth is concerned, then writing with your right hand is not called ksiva. So we're basically seeing that according to the Sefer Trumos, this definition, this requirement of Yamin, is a universal requirement in Kol Torah Kula. It's not limited to Hilchas Shabbos, and it's not based on Melechas Machsheves. If it were based on Melechas Machsheves, it would have no implications as far as tefillin.
Where's
Sefer Trumos? Ask me an easier question. I should know that, but I don't have it at my fingertips.
Rishon.
Yeah. Now, all this is in contrast to the Ramah. Why? Because the Ramah in Evan Ezer in Hilchas Gittin in Simon Kufchav Gimel writes that it's a good recommendation, it's a good idea for the sofer when he writes the get to write it with his yad yamin, with his right hand, and that's l'chatchila what he should do. But b'di'evet, the get is kosher, even if he wrote it v'yad small. In other words, if you're asking what is the definition of ksiva according to halacha, then let's leave Shabbos on the outside, says the Ramah. If you leave Shabbos out of your equation, then yad small is just as good as yad yamin. So universally in Shar Dinei HaTorah, beyond the realm of Shabbos, writing is defined by writing, whether it's writing with your right hand or with your left hand. And the Chelkas Mechokek, the super commentary on the Ramah, writes, D'dafka le'inyan Shabbos Potter. Says the Igli Tal in his introduction to Hilchas Shabbos, this is very famous, that the reason why Ksiva Biyad Smol is Potter on Shabbos is because it's a Shinui. And the Torah requires, with regard to the violation of Shabbos, of Aleches Machsheves. So the Chelkas Mechokek now is really applying this rule that the Ptur of Yad Smol in the case of Shabbos is based on a unique halach in Shabbos called Meleches Machsheves, but it doesn't apply in Shar Dinei HaTorah. So as far as your universal definition of Ksiva is concerned, Ksiva can be achieved Bein B'Yamin, Bein B'Smol. It's a good idea to tell the sofer to write with his right hand, because otherwise it can be very, very difficult to read the writing. You know, a get has to serve as a star raya, you know, that she can prove that she was divorced. So the best idea is to tell the sofer to write the get with his right hand. But, says the Chelkas Mechokek, it's still considered ksiva with your left hand. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Gimel says that you're potter for writing on Shabbos with your left hand, except according to Rabbi Yossi, Mishum Roshem. The answer is that in Shabbos we have halacha that Shinui is mafkir the chiyuv Shabbos because it's not Meleches Machsheves. But that's a unique Shabbos halacha and has no application to Ksiva as a universal definition. So abstract definition of Ksiva would allow you to write with your right hand. Comes out now, Rabbi Osei, just as a summary, and this was the last point we made on Tuesday, we now have machlokas between the Sefer Truma and the Ramah, whereas the Ramah understands that the halacha of Yad Smol as an exclusion, that's only in Shabbos because of Meleches Machsheves. As far as the universal definition of Ksiva, Bein B'Yamin, Bein B'Smol, any Ksiva is fine. On the other hand, the Sefer Truma understands that even in Kol HaTorah Kula, when the Torah requires Ksiva, Ksiva is defined by Yamin. Kitalia, did you get the Maror Makomos pages? There should be three pages, meaning two sides and another page, just that you have the whole set. See if it's there. Okay. Now, one of the questions that we've had over and over again on this sugya, on Daf Kuf Gimel, regarding Yad Smol, is this tlut. The Gemara is tola that the Chiyuv B'Yad Smol is Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi holds that there's an Av Molocha called Meleches Roshen. And we had a problem with this, because we said that if you're talking about Shinui, and if you're talking about a Ptur of Shelo Kedarko, so then writing with your left hand, if you're writing, is Shelo, excuse me, Shelo Kedarko. What do you gain? What benefit do you have by quoting Rabbi Yossi and Roshim? If you're talking about Sritos or other different kinds of Simonim, and you're chayv according to Rabbi Yossi Mishum Roshim, Nicha, that I understand. A person can successfully achieve and implement a Srita even with his left hand. But we're talking about writing letters. That's the Mishnah explicitly. Speaks about Osios. And he wrote these Otsios with his left hand. It seems pretty odd that according to Rabbi Yossi, he would be chayef for such a thing. Because the same Shinui that applies according to the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yossi, when he writes with his left hand, and you describe it, you categorize it as Shinui, that applies equally well to Ksiva with Yad Smol, according to Rabbi Yossi. You know, it's not as if Rabbi Yossi has trained his people to write with their left hand. Rabbi Yossi is looking at the same person that the Tanakhama is looking at, Joe Plony, and he's writing two Osios with his left hand. The Tanakhama says he's Potter Midin Shinui, and Rabbi Yossi says he's Chayav Midin Roshem. How do we understand such a thing? even despite the fact that there is such a thing as Meleches Roshim, not when you're writing Osios. So we had a long discussion about this on Tuesday, and we came up with a theory based on the Ramban that maybe there's a difference between the Av and the Tolda. Ayin Shom. I'm not going to go over that whole piece. But now, according to Sefer HaTrumas, I think we have a beautiful answer to this question, because according to Sefer HaTrumas, Rabbi Yossi is going to tell you that if you write with your left hand, you'll be chayev midin roshem, because the entire din here of our sugya is not based on shinui and not shinui, but it's based on defining ksiva. So again, let's go back to the drawing board. According to the Sefer HaTrumas, who says that if the Sofer wrote the tefillin with his left hand, the tefillin is possible. It means that according to the Sefer HaTrumas, my universal definition in halacha of ksiva is ksiva biyad yamin. And that's what the Gemara is applying here in the case of Shabbos, that the reason why you're not chayv from Meleches Kosef on Shabbos, according to the Tanakhama, is because you wrote with your left hand, and that doesn't constitute ksiva. The Torah doesn't recognize that as shmei ksiva, lav shmei ksiva b'smol. If that be the case, then comes along Rabbi Yossi, and he says there's a different malacha. We're not talking about ksiva at all. We're talking about reshima. We're talking about roshem. If we're talking about roshem, then roshem is even beyond small. If you were defining this halacha of small in terms of shinui, then again we're back to square one, and we have to rack our brains, try to figure out why, according to Rabbi Yossi, with Meleches Roshem, the shinui should not be mafkiyah the chiyuv. He should be part of it because of shinui. But if we're operating according to the Sefer HaTrumas with an entirely different set of rules and regulations, we're not talking about a specific halacha of Meleches Machsheves and Shabbos that you didn't do it the normal way, but we're talking about the fact that this is not Ksiva. Haraya, the Sefer HaTrumas says if you wrote a Sefer Torah with your left hand, it's not kosher. Is that be the case? Now I come up with Roshem, and I ask myself a whole different question. Here you're not Chai for Ksiva, but you're Chai for Rishima. There are two Maisei Adam. There's a Maisei Adam of Ksiva and a Maisei Adam of Rishima. On Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi, we have two different avos malachas. We have one av malach of a ma'isa malacha called ksiva. We have another av malach of a ma'isa malacha called rishima. Now you want to know, is it a ksav or is it not a ksav? The answer is, you wrote with your left hand, it's not a ksav. Who cares? According to Rabbi Yossi, you're going to be chai for what? Not for ksiva, but rather for rishima. And Rabbosai, if this be the case, then we might have to learn this sugya in two different ways. One way according to the Sefer HaTrumas, and a whole different way according to the Ramah. According to Ramah, we're entering into the very definite cocoon of Shabbos, the restricted area of Shabbos. And Meleches Machsheves, and we want to know what's shinui, what's not shinui. If he writes with his left hand, then that's considered a shinui. And then we're going to have to ask ourselves the question, so what if Rabbi Yossi says Yechayev for an Av Malacha called Roshem, but Lamaisa he did the Shinui because he wrote the two Osios with his left hand, and we're going to have to come up with some sort of superstructure that since there's a new Av Malacha of Roshem, and Roshem could be achieved equally well with Yamin and Small, then the Av Malacha determines every single case. Like we said in the case of Kotzer, if Yechayev Mishum Tlisha B'yad, then you're going to be Chayev even in Al Gabi Behemo, even though that's a Shinui, as we discussed the great length on Tuesday in the name of the Ramban. But according to Sefer HaTrumas, if you ask me, the sug is gleich, as we say in Yiddish. It's much smoother. Why? Because all I have to tell you is that there are two different concepts. There's something called a Maisa Ksiva, and there's something called a Maisa Rishima. And that's what Rabbi Yossi is giving us. And therefore, as far as your definition of ksiva, whether it be Shabbos, whether it be tefillin, whether it be get, wherever the Torah requires ksiva, small is not ksiva. That has nothing to do with Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi is saying, Yechai from Maisa Rishima. So even though this does not qualify according to Allah as Maisa ksiva, it will qualify as a Maisa Rishima. I got very excited about this, Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Now, I want to see if we could, you know, usually when I feel I have a breakthrough, you know, then I try to build on it, to see if I can build on it. So the next part of Shia, I want to see if I can build on this. And you'll be my you'll be my sound, you'll be my jury. Yesterday I said that in Meleches tochen, and I kind of regretted saying it because I got pounced upon over there. At one point, I had to just walk out. I couldn't handle it. Okay. The Gemara says the following. We've been assuming that when the Mishnah tells you, Yechayev bein b'yamin, bein b'smol, it's going according to Rabbi Yossi. And that's indeed the opinion of Rav Yaakov. But we have the opinion of Abaye. And Abaye interprets the Mishnah b'sholeit b'shtei yodav. Okay then? Now, loosely translated, that means he's ambidextrous. But when we get into the finer details of what Abaye has in mind, I would like to claim that there's a machlokas rishonim about this. The Ritva says the following. He says, "Afilu eino sholeit legamre." He says, even though he's definitely proficient with one hand, he's not exactly proficient with the other hand. V'rov hamalachas oseh ba'acheres. Let's say, for example, he, again, you could go either way, but let's try Yamin. Again, you could have started with small, it doesn't matter to me. Let's say he does most of his activities, you know, if you put him in as a pitcher in a baseball game, he's going to pitch the ball with his right hand. But he could pitch with his left hand as well, and he's proficient. Says the Ritva, Afilu Hachi, even though he does most of his malachas with the right hand, he'll be chayef with his left hand, according to Abaye. And why is that? Dishole gam bezu. I really should bring the Ritva and read it inside because it's a long paragraph. I just copied over a short part of it. Should I take a break and get the Ritva?
Do you want me to get it?
No. Do you know where to find it?
Here,
let me see if I can describe it to you. Because until you find the Ritva, you can waste 10 minutes. If you look at the wall, that's exactly on opposite of, you know, if this wall wasn't here, it's on the top right. Okay then? All right. Hopefully that's the only safe I forgot to bring in, because I have all the Rambams we need, I have all the Mishnah Berurahs we need, I have all the Gemaras we need, but the Ritva I forgot to bring. So it's kedai to bring the Ritva. So Rabosai, what does the Ritva want to say over here? Oh, Shkok, you found it, Mamish, as fast as we can. The Ritva is basically saying something which I think makes a lot of sense intuitively. I mean, he doesn't need my approbation here. But when you think about it, is there any reason he has to be equally proficient in both hands? The whole idea here is to make sure that he's able to do this ksiva. So the Ritva wants to suggest that, you know what? Even if he does rov malachos with one hand, but he can use the other hand as well. And I honestly believe, I don't know the science, I don't know what the statistical probabilities are, but I think most people who call themselves ambidextrous, or we call them ambidextrous, probably fit into the Ritva's description. In other words, they're able to use their other hand, but nevertheless, they do mostly what they do with that hand. Let me just see if I can find the Ritva for you. Just one second. Am I in the right Masechta? Yeah, I think I'm in the right Masechta. So that's good news. Yeah, b'sholeit b'shtei yodav. Pirush. Again, if he's sholeit b'shtei yodav, Abaye says he's chayav for writing with his left hand. Lo sof dover sholeit yofe b'shteim ka'achas, dim kein pshita. If he's equally, literally ambidextrous, equally, then that's pshita. The Mishnah didn't have to go out of its way to tell me that he's chayav for both left and right. No one would entertain the possibility that in this case it's shalo kedarko with one hand or the other, because he's equally proficient in both hands. Ella says the Ritva, what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? Hakamashvulan. Shafilu eno sholeit legamre bi achas mehen. So it's not sholeit legamre. V'rov hamalachos osa be'acheres. Afilu hachi kevan shesholeit af bezu v'kosev ba'al lefa'amim. Melacha ki urche chashivi. What does ki urche mean? It's kedarg. Ki urche means it's kedarg. I love this Ritva. You know, the Ritva was a great pedagogue. It's pashut clear. It's crystal clear. He's saying that, what does it mean he's a righty, but he's sholeit b'shtei yadav? And he's saying that sometimes he writes with his left hand. Now, I don't know if... is everybody in this room a righty?
Everybody's
a righty? So let me ask you a question. Does anybody here in this room write with their left hand?
No.
Maybe I'm calling Moed, but other than that, who writes with the left hand? Exactly, but says the Ritva, what's the Chiddush? If you're telling me ambidextrous means that he writes with both hands, they say about Rav Chaim Isaac Grzinski, who was the final posek in Vilna, in Lita, in his day, he could write two tshuvas at the same time, to two different questions, one with his right hand, one with his left hand. I don't believe it. But that, they don't tell these stories about you and me. So they're telling it about Rav Chaim Moshe. How could the brain be split, you know, right brain, left brain? He could write two tshuvas on two different issues at the same time. The Rav used to tell us about his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that Rav Chaim could think about two things at the same time. Even that's mind-boggling. And sometimes he's in the middle of a conversation with someone, and it's a very vigorous conversation, very active and lively conversation, and he'll ask the person, excuse me for just 1 second, get up, look at a Rambam, say it's gerecht, I'm right, go back and continue the conversation. Means his brain was thinking, but imagine writing two things. Okay, anyway. So that's absolute ambidextrous, correct? He can write with his left hand the same way he writes with his right hand. Says the Ritva, pshita mai kamash. The Mishnah didn't have to tell me. Because, what are you going to tell me? He's chayev with his left hand and not his right hand? Maybe he's chayev with his right hand and not his left hand? He's not chayev with either hand? I mean, like, what would you be thinking? You know, so the Ritva says, no, the Chiddush is that he's chayev, even though he's really much more used to writing with his right hand, but on some occasions, he writes with his left hand. That's the Ritva. So, unfortunately, we have no footnotes on the Ritva. There may be I don't have access to the Ritva, you know, of Moshe Rabbeinu Kook or so, with footnotes. But I do find a Rambam that I want to share with you. And this you'll see on page 2 of Yomar Makomos. This is the Rambam Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Dalet. As you know, most of Perek Yud Aleph is dedicated to Meleches Ksiva. And Halacha Yud Dalet, he says the following. Hakosev bismola, he writes with his left hand, etc. Potter. Iter, if he's a lefty, shekosev biyamino, shehik lo kismolo shel kol adam, potter. So in other words, the right hand to a lefty is the same as the left hand to a righty, and he's potter. Okay, but if he writes with his left hand, he's chayav. Hasholeit b'shtei yadov, I'm going to skip the next word for emphasis purposes. Okay, hasholit b'shtei yadav v'kosav bein v'yamino bein b'smolo chayov. Okay, now I'm going to go back to the word I skipped. Hakosev. I'm sorry. Hasholit b'shtei yadav b'shaveh. Rabosai, I'm telling you, I'm going to be willing to take a shvuah d'oraisa right now that the Rambam added this word b'shaveh lafuke to exclude the Ritva. Now, whether he knew about the Ritva or not, the Ritva was later than the Rambam, I don't know, but there was a possibility of the Ritva Svara out there somewhere in the Welt, and he is disagreeing. The Rambam says, when are you chayv bein b'yamin, bein b'smol? That's only if he's sholeit b'shtei yadav b'shaveh. This is your, you know, your paradigm case of an ambidextrous person. He literally doesn't know the difference between his right hand and his left hand because he's perfectly proficient in both.
I think the definition of ambidextrous literally means two right hands.
Really? Where, in the dictionary?
Yeah, like by the...
Can you pull that out for me? That could be good for my shiur. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So Rabosai, what I'd like to understand is what's the Yesod HaMachlokas here between the Rambam and the Ritva? Let's go over the Machlokas first of all on a simple level and let's see if we can dig a little bit below the surface. The Ritva says that if he occasionally, from time to time, he writes with his left hand, He is what Abai has in mind as a sholeh b'shtei yadav, and he's writing, if he writes with his left hand, he'll be chayev on Shabbos. The Rambam says that when can you be chayev for writing on your left hand if you're not a lefty? If you write with both hands b'shav equal. What are they arguing about? Let's go back to our drawing.
The word ambidextrous is derived from the Latin roots ambi, A-M-B-I, meaning both, and dexter means right or favorable. So it's both rights, meaning you're both right hands. So by definition, it's somebody who
But when he says right, does he mean right as opposed to
right,
left, or
yes.
He means that's the right thing to do?
No,
it's the Latin sinister is left and dexter is right.
So, right, and it says here that way back when it was used in that connotation, it was also that kind of connotation. But he says that only 1% of the people are really ambidextrous by definition.
Yeah, but according to the Ritva, I think it's probably 10%. I don't know. 5%, I don't know what it is.
Really, very few people are ambidextrous the way that
okay.
They're equally adapted in the use of both the left and the right hand.
So let me ask you a question. The first part of the word ambi means what? Equal?
Equal.
So then, and Michael, help me out again. How do you say left in Latin?
Sinister.
Sinister?
Sinister.
Right. Yeah. But why didn't they say ambi sinister? You know, why ambidextrous?
Most people.
Because most people right here. So I want to give a different shot. I don't mean it literally, but the way I want to use this. I want to use it in Lumbus, and I'll try to clarify what I mean. That it's not coincidental that we call it ambidextrous. Okay, let me see. Let's go back to the drawing board, Rabosai. According to the Sefer Truva, we said that our Gemara that says your potter for writing with your left hand on Shabbos is based on a universal definition of ksiva. What constitutes ksiva in the vision of halacha? According to the Rama and the Chalkas Machokek, the reason why you potter with your left hand on Shabbos is because of Shalom Kedarko, it's a Shinui. Oh. Can we take this Machlokas and use it to form the basis for this Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ritva about Sholei Peshtei Yadav? Jeff, can you help me out here? Which is the easier one? One of the two is easy. You don't even have to think about it twice. Who's operating here between the Ritva and the Rambam, clearly with the definition of Shinui, of Shalom Kedarko?
The Rambam.
No, I thought it's the Ritva.
He's saying that the left hand is Shalom Kedarko.
No, if you're operating with Shalom Kedarko, then for me, if I write occasionally from time to time with my left hand, that's not called Shalom Kedarko. The Rambam is not satisfied with the Ritva. The Rambam ups the ante and he says Sholei Peshtei Yadav is perfectly shava v'shava with both yadayim. So again, let me start again. I thought the easy way of going here, in my humble opinion, you can disagree with me, is the Ritva. The Ritva is saying you can't call it a shinui if I do it that way. Admittedly, I don't do it all the time, and I mostly usually write with my right hand, but I also write with my left hand, and I'm comfortable with my left hand. Elo what? I'm more comfortable with my right hand. But the Ritva says that's also called sholei peshtei yadav. If he writes with his left hand, that's not called a shinui. He can't call it a shinui if he pa'amim he writes with his left hand.
If you're sure you can't call it shinui with the Rambam.
Oh, the Rambam, I claim, is not operating with shinui at all. The Rambam is operating with an abstract definition of ksiva. And how do I know this? Again, maybe this is not so fair, but let me look at the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos. And the Rambam, when he gets to ksiva, biyad small, in Pirush HaMishnayos, he adds a few extra words. Chaval, that I don't have Rav Kapach here, but okay, we'll deal with Ibn Tibin if we have to. I always forget, they put it before the Rosh, or...
It's after the Rosh.
Is it between the Rosh and the Marsha or after
the
Marsha?
The Rosh and the Marsha.
Oh, right between the Rosh and the Marsha. What page is it on? Because I have the
it's
same.
On Kuf page. I'm in Perek. Kuf Tzad or Kuf.
Oh, so I have numbers. Oh, I see. You also have numbers, right?
378 or Kuf Tzad.
Okay, 378. Okay.
378 is the right one for Kuf Gimel.
Yeah. So the Rambam here, I think, adds a few words. Let's just see.
About Ktivat Smol and Oil Roshim. Low code.
Yeah. Just give me a second. Oh, here are the keywords that I want to focus on. I'm going to first mention the keywords, then I'll read it in the whole sentence. But the focus is on the words Eina Nikres Ksiva. Do you see? You hear those three words in the Rambam? So let Millie read the whole sentence. He says, "Bein biyamino, bein bismolo, ratzalomar mishu mishtamish b'shtei yadav." Okay, now if I add the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam here, I would add bishava, right? Hein karano so sholeh b'shtei yadav. He's chayav. Okay, so sholeh b'shtei yadav is chayav. Even though he wrote with his left hand. Avol shar b'nei yadav. Eino nikres ksiva el ksivas yamin. You hear those words? If I were writing the Rambam with the Ritva's mindset, or for that matter with the Rama's mindset, or the Chelkas Machokik, I would have formulated it differently. I wouldn't have gone, this is very bold. Eino nikres ksiva el ksivas yamin? I wouldn't have said that. It's nikres ksiva. But it's a ksiva shalokidarko. It's a shinui. Do you hear the subtle difference? Michael, are you with me on this? If you were writing the Rambam, what my claim is, again, you can fight with me, but I just want you to at least hear, you know, be open-minded to hear what I have to say. If you were writing the Rambam, would you say that, you know what, if you write with your left hand, ain't it nikres ksiva? That's not ksiva? That's going very far. According to the Rambam, according to the Ritva, even before the Rambam, historically, I would have said, ain't it nikres ksiva kidarka or lohavi kiderech hakosvim, or I would have said havi shinui. Let's call a spade a spade. It's a separate p'tur of meleches machsheves. You have to do it exactly. But instead, the Rambam says ain't a nikres ksiva, and I'm wondering if the one who wrote this, don't take me literally on this, is the Sefer Truma. He's you know shchina medaberes mitoch grono. He's writing the Rambam here, and he holds the Sefer Truma that if you write with your left hand, ain't a nikres ksiva. Nu rabosai, if it's ain't a nikres ksiva. If this is a universal definition of what constitutes ksiva, you need yad yamin, then who's going to be chai for writing with yad small? Give me the Latin word. Someone who is ambidextrous. What's the lumpus of ambidextrous? It doesn't say ambisinister, it says ambidextrous. It means he has two right hands. He has two right hands. His left hand is a right hand. Alpidin, it's a right hand. That means he's chayav from Meleches Ksiva if he writes with his left hand, even though Ksiva requires Yamin. If he writes a Sefer Torah or Tefillin with his left hand, it's kosher because he wrote with Yad Yamin. And if he writes a get with his left hand, the get is kosher because he wrote with Yad Yamin. Why do I need to say it's Yad Yamin? Because the Rambam holds like the Sefer Truma that ksiva biyad small, forget about shinui, doesn't constitute ksiva. So we have to get and generate a ksiva. How do we generate a ksiva? We need a yad yamin. The answer is, if this guy writes with his left hand, that's called his yamin. His small is your yamin. And if he's ambidextrous, then I can elevate his small to the level of yamin. But the fact that occasionally he's comfortable writing with his left hand, that doesn't make his left hand into yamin. In universal terms of what constitutes ksiva, lav shmei ksiva, even though he writes occasionally with his left hand. Geshmak, no? And again, Rabosai, everything I say you can argue with, and I'm not, you know, you can be picky and this, but I always say that before you slug something up, first enjoy, you know, enjoy the geschmack of it. Then you want to slug it up, go ahead. But why not enjoy the benefit, you know? You know, we mentioned the Gleital, you know, the famous introduction of the Gleital. He says that the Iker mitzvah of Talmud Torah is Simcha v'Talmud Torah. Tainug v'Simcha, he says. So I have a great deal of onik for this because I think what's happening now is that what we said was a machlokas between the Sefer HaTruma and the Rama, which really, you know, impacts on how you read the Gemara. When the Gemara says that you're potter v'yad small. How do you read that? Are you reading it that that's not derech ksiva in terms of your universal definition of ksiva, and the Torah doesn't recognize this as ksiva when you write with your left hand? That's the sefer truma, and that has implications in hilchus tefillin, hilchus getin. Or are we learning ba'ofim mitzumtzum halach and Shabbos of eino kedarka, and therefore it's not meleches machshavos? Two ways of learning the Gemara. Now what we're saying is, based on those two methods, those two approaches, we could say two different ways of learning Abaye of Sholeit B'Shtei Yadav. Why you chayev in the case of Sholeit B'Shtei Yadav Yad Smol? One way is to say, because it's not Shalom Kedarka. I occasionally, from time to time, write with my left hand. That's not unusual. 10% of the time, I write with my left hand. That's not a shinui. And therefore, I'll chayev. Comes along the Rambam, but he says, no. When you write with your left hand and you're not ambidextrous, then you are lav shmei ksiva, the Rambam's language is. It's not called ksiva. Because the universal definition, the image of ksiva as the Torah envisions it, is with the yad yamin, says the Rambam. But if you write equally with the yad small, then you're like an iter small, and your small is my yamin. And therefore the Torah recognizes that ksiva. Okay. Now, Rabosei, I'm wondering if we could take this one step further. Do you recall that we had a long discussion about the Tshuvas HaRambam? Right back in the day, and sometimes you'll see it even today, they used to write Osios on the side of the published work. Right, it's the Shulei Adapim. What was it called? The Chudei Adapim. So the Rambam addressed the following question. Are you allowed to open and close such a book? When you open it, you're doing mechika. When you close the book, you're doing ksiva, because the osios are either being broken when you open it, or they're forming osios when you close it. The Rambam quotes the das of the Yesh Machmirim, which, by the way, is... What do you say?
The Levush, right?
The Levush is Machmir. I think the Magen Avraham is Machmir. There are a number of poskim that are Machmir on this Shaila. The Rambam himself is Mekil. He's Machmir. And he has a whole long to-do to try to explain why he's matir. And basically, how can you describe it in English terms? Help me, Michael, with this. Do we have such a book in front of us?
If you were to write here, just write your name.
Oh, if you were.
He wrote your name here.
Oh, if you were.
No, but Michael, he didn't write it on Shabbos. That he wrote on Arab Shabbos.
Okay.
Just want to make sure no misunderstand.
I know.
We don't. Today it's very rare, but I have seen books even today.
This is a tzior, no?
Okay, so now you have to know about Roshe. So we have to get into the whole question of Roshe. You know, is he communicating some sort of a message? So let's take the classical case of Osios, right? And I think if we went through the library, we'd probably find at least one book, you know, that has such a thing.
Libraries used to put their stamp.
Oh, right, libraries, the name of the library on it. It's still common even today, I think. So the question that the Rambam faced, you know, 5 centuries ago, was whether or not you're allowed to open and close such a book. And he came to the conclusion, based on a sugya called Mechusar Kreva, that even when the book is open, the osios are still called osios. Very fascinating chiddush, and we were mafalpil with it. That was about a month ago. I don't know when we started Meleches Kosei.
It was on the 5th.
5th of
love. Of this month.
Of this month. So where are we now? We're at least 3 weeks later, right? Okay. Now, the fascinating thing is that I have at home a famous book on Or HaChaim, which is called the Eliyahu Rabbah. I forgot his name right now, so don't ask me. I know his name, but I just forgot it right now. So the Eliyahu Rabbah says the following. After all is said and done, he lived about 2 centuries ago. After all is said and done, we have the Magen Avraham who's Machmir, and the Levush is Machmir, we have the Rambam who's Mekil. You know what I suggest? Open the book with your left hand. Rabosai, without thinking too much, just give me a knee-jerk response, and I hope you give me the answer I want to hear. Does it make any sense?
No.
Makes no sense at all. Why not, Zev?
First, it's not necessarily shinui.
Why is it not necessarily
shinui? We serve family shinui on ketiva. This is not.
I'm going to give you, Zev, 10 books to open. Are you going to open all 10 of them with your right hand?
Not necessarily.
I can open up a book with my left hand. in your terms, Gedalia, it doesn't require motor,
fine motor
coordination, right? I don't think. So to come along and tell me that the Elio Rabbah is maintaining that when you open up a book with your left hand, that's called a shinui, and felt it's lacking in chisarin in meleches machsheves. Honestly, I would throw you out for that. That's Mirab's enigma. There's no way you can convince me. What else, Ev? You wanted to go beyond? I stopped you sort of prematurely because you gave me the right answer and I was afraid to call a Mosu Korea. You know, you told me exactly what I was hoping you would say. So I was thinking, perhaps, based on the Sefer HaTruma, we can give an explanation for this Elio Rab. The problem is that the Torah recognizes a ksiva when it was generated by Yad Yamin. If you generate a ksiva by closing the book, Biyad small, again, I'm not going to tell you it's a shinui, but it's not ksiva. Because the precondition of ksiva is Yad Yamin. Yeah. Haraya, if you write tefillin or a get with Yad small, does hasten the ksiva, and the tefillin apostle, and the get is apostle. Now again, you can argue with me on this. You could say, well, it's still Dacha Gadol to accept this Elio Rabbah, because after all, when the halacha defines ksiva in abstract terms, and that refers to everything, yeah, that's when you're forming letters. Here he's opening a book, you know, but at least there's a mitzvah havana here in the Elio Rabbah that maybe, just maybe, he's saying that the ksiva has to be somehow, you know, that, you know, if you look at the ksav as an entity, and then you ask yourself, where did that ksav come from? It's got to have come from Yad Yamin. All right, just something to think about.
His name was Eliyahu
Shapiro. How do you remember that?
I don't know, I just looked it up.
Oh, you looked it up. Yeah, when did he live? About 2 centuries ago, though?
1700s.
Late 1700s, yeah. Very important posting. I have the original, so I'm very proud of my... And Michael, I'm still shaking from the fact that you knew exactly when Beitar fell. I mean, 135, you said? Everybody, I'm telling you, Michael, I'm going to clap on the tish here in the yeshiva, and I'm going to ask how many people in Abbey, and we have some intelligent people in Abbey since. Okay, if you're willing to put your money down, I'm willing to take the wager. I was very impressed. Okay, let's go on. Now, our Gemara, let's just read it again, says, I lose the page, okay. Our Gemara says, Bishleim ayimin lechay mishum de derech ksiva bukach. I'm sorry, el asmol amai ha ein derech ksiva bukach. Now, when I read this Gemara, I get very nervous. Why? Because Bishleim, if I'm putting on my thinking cap of the Ramah, and the whole business here about Yad Smol is whether it's Kedarko or Shalo Kedarko, then I understand the Gemara. The words of the Gemara flow smoothly. Is it Kederach? Is it not Kederach? But if I talk about the Sefer HaTrumas, that we're dealing with the universal concept of what constitutes ksiva in the halachic universe, then the kederach here bothers me. Are you with me on that? Can you empathize with me? Okay.
You should say in mikra ksiva, that's what you would like it to say.
Yeah, something more bombastic, like the Rambam's lashon here in the Pirush HaMishnayos. But derech, ein derech, you got to admit that, you know, first reaction, it means kedarko, shalo kedarko, and I would throw in Meleches Machsheves into the equation. But Rabosai, I want to think about this word kedarko with you a second time around. Give it a second look, as we say. Because I find that Rashi, in his Pirush on Masechet Shabbos, consistently uses the word kedarko in a whole different way. And maybe that could shed a light on our kedarko here on Daf Kuf Gim. So let's start with Rashi at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos on Daf Gimel Omen Aleph. The Gemara there is dealing with Meleches Hotzah, and the Gemara wants to know what happens if he did an Akira without a Hanocha, or he did a Hanocha without an Akira. And the Gemara says that he's Potter. In other words, the Tzuras HaMelacha of Meleches Hotzah is comprised of three elements: Akira, Havaras Rishuyos, and Hanocha. So therefore he's Potter if he's lacking one of those three. And that's the thrust of this sugya. Now, when the Gemara gives a case where he has, let's say, a package on his back and he carries it, so he didn't do an Akira, and the Gemara wants to know, is that an Akira, is it not Akira, etc., etc. And the Gemara says that on the tzad, that there's no Akira, he's going to be potter. Is everybody with me on this? So you did a Havaras Rishuyos and a Hanocha without an Akira, you're potter. Look at Rashi. Rashi is two lines up before the end of the Amud, on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and Rashi says, V'ein derech hotzah below Akira v'anocha. Now I'm going to be very dumb right now, okay? And I'm going to tell you that ein derech, etc., whatever the word comes afterwards, means that it's a shinui, and it's kelachar yad. I want to understand. I have stuff on my back, and I carry it out into Rosh Hashanah. Are you going to tell me that's a shinui? The hair smith, is anybody listening to me?
If it's not your normal way of carrying?
It's very normal. I mean, if I have a tarmil on my back, right? But no, I'm saying, shalok hidarko means that I did it in a way that you and I would never do. Somebody would laugh at me. You know, you're doing it in a very unusual way. Who says that every single time that I take a chayfetz and I relocate it, I do it with an akira and an anocha? There are many different ways of relocating it. If it happens to be on my back, I'll relocate it by moving it on my back. I think the Rashi's language of ein derech hotzah is a pella. And again, if I only had one Rashi, maybe I wouldn't have the chutzpah to say what I'm about to say. But I don't believe for one minute that Rashi's ein derech hotzah v'kach is referring to what we call shalom kedarko, kalachayad, shinui, whatever term you want to use it. What Rashi means is, I'm going to add one word to this Rashi, again, that's a chutzpah on my part, ein derech meleches hotzah v'kach. What he means is that every single one of the 39 melachas has its well-defined tzuras hamelacha. This is the tzuras hamelacha. We derive it from Mishkan, and that's what sets up a tzuras hamelacha. When Rashi employs the term ein darko, he's talking about the tzuras hamelacha. I'll give you another example. Let's open up to Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Okay? To Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is addressing the issue of Bishul Bechama. You remember we discussed this, that if you bake something, you cook something in the sun. And the Gemara says, Mutter. Okay? So Rashi says, why is it Mutter? This is about eight lines down from the top of the page. Rashi says, Di ein derech bishul bekach. Now, we live in a world today of solar energy. And I would like to believe that whatever Rashi said 1,000 years ago, or how many years ago? Is it close to 1,000, right? Is true even today. You know, Torah is Netzach. So what am I going to say to somebody? Today, they have so many different advances in technology about how to cook things with solar energy and how to do a million and one things with solar energy. That's called Ein Darko Bekach. That's a shinui. Meicha Teisa? Is Rashi telling me that 1 in 100 people will fry an egg bake an egg in the sun? I don't know. But maybe what Rashi means is Ein Derech Meleches Bishol Bekach. That there's a certain well-defined Tzuras HaMelacha of Bishul, which is defined and reflects the Mishkan. And if you do it in a different way, that's not the Derech HaMelacha. So what I'm suggesting now is that maybe we could say the following. that in between the Sefer HaTrumah on one extreme and the Rambam on the other extreme, we could have a middle of the road Shita. I'm not going to go as far as the Sefer HaTrumah, but I don't have to imply and define this Gemara in terms of the Rambam's terminology. What do I mean to say? Perhaps when the Gemara says that writing with your left hand is not derech ksiva, the Gemara doesn't mean necessarily that it's a shinui. I don't have to go that far. And let's say if we take the Rambam's perspective that even if somebody writes occasionally with his left hand, the Rambam would still insist that he's potter on Shabbos. Why is that ain't derech ksiva? You hear my question? So we answered that the Rambam holds like the Sefer HaTrumah, we medayik in the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayos. But maybe there's another way of learning the Rambam. Forget about the Pirush HaMishnayos for the time being. Maybe we could say that the Rambam learned this sugya the way Rashi learned the sugya of Bishul Bachama, and the way the Rambam learned, and the way Rashi learned the sugya of Akira below Anocha, Anocha below Akira, that we have to define the Tzuras HaMalacha. And the Tzuras HaMalacha.
The Isur Malacha.
No, I'm saying in each case of a malacha, you first have to define what is the tzuras ha-malacha. In other words, in what shape or form did you do the malacha? Did you perform the malacha? There are all sorts of rules and regulations for what the method of the malacha, how do you implement the malacha? That's what I call the tzuras ha-malacha. And Rashi says, if you don't do it b'derech ha-malacha, which means the tzuras ha-malacha that's unique and defines the nature of the character of that malacha, then you're potter. So the Tzuras HaMalach, the way they did it in the Mishkan, in the case of Otzah, it was in Akira, and with Hanacha, the Tzuras HaBishol, in the case of Samavanim, was with Bishol V'yesh, and not Bishol B'chama. And now what we're suggesting is that the way they did Ksiva in the Mishkan was with their right hand. Comes along a certain person, a Joe, and he says, you know, occasionally I write with my left hand. Vos Epis, do me something. You know, why is that a Shinui? Why is that Shalom Kedarko? I'm fine with my left hand. Maybe I'm a little bit more proficient with my right hand. The Rambam says you're potter. So maybe, just maybe, the Rambam learned ksiva bismol the way Rashi learned bishul b'chama or hotzah without an akira. That what we're lacking here is the derech tzuras hamalacha. And the tzuras hamalacha of ksiva, the way it was done, and that's going to be the ideal method of implementing ksiva, is with your right hand and not with your left hand. And therefore, it comes out that according to this pshat, I'll call it Rashi pshat, you know, I mean, it's not Rashi because Rashi doesn't say that here, but al darko shel Rashi, what the Gemara wants to say is that even if you write occasionally with your left hand, unless I can upgrade and transform your left hand into your right hand, into your left is my right, if I can't do that, if I fall shy of that, that's not the tzuras hamalacha. So therefore, I don't have to introduce the concept of shinui. Now you'll say to me, Rabbi Berzon, it sounds nice, but who cares? In Hebrew, we'd say eizer revach yesh lecha b'zeh. You know what I mean? So you said a chiddush, but you know, we don't say chiddushim unless the chiddush really answers up some problem. So I would like to suggest the following for those who are following me today, that this would give us a beautiful pshat in the Gemara about Rabbi Yossi. We were boggling our brains. Why is it that according to Rabbi Yossi, you write two osios with your left hand and you're a righty and you're chayav? Why? Because Rabbi Yossi calls it roshim. So what if it's Roshim? It's a Shinui. What's the answer, Rabbi Osai? Because Roshim has a different Tzuras HaMalacha. When we define the Tzuras HaMalacha of Kosev, the Tzuras HaMalacha of Kosev as a Malacha is with your right hand. Rabbi Yossi introduces a whole new Malacha. And that's called Meleches Roshim. Now he asks me, what's the Tzuras HaMalacha of Roshim? And the answer is Bein B'Yamin, Bein B'Smol. And therefore, when we say that in Rabbi Yossi's frame of reference, writing two osios with your left hand is called kedarko, whereas according to Tanakhama, it's shalom kedarko, and we were racking our brains. I mean, Lamaisa, it's the same Jew, Yankel Beryl, and he's writing with his left hand. The Tanakhama says that's shalom kedarko. And Rabbi Yossi says that's kedarko? How do you figure that out? The answer is, you misunderstood what kedarko means. Kedarko doesn't mean whether it's a shinui, whether it's unusual. If it's unusual for the Tanakhama, then it's unusual for Rabbi Yossi as well. The answer is no. We're talking about Melecha Shabbos. And in terms of Melecha Shabbos, every Melecha has its abstract definition of the Tzuras HaMelecha. In the Tanakhama's frame of reference, the only Melecha we can deal with, we have no choice, is Melecha's Kosev. The Tzuras HaMelecha of Kosev is Biyad Yamin and not Biyad Smol. But in Rabbi Yossi's frame of reference, there's a lot more flexibility, because Rabbi Yossi has a different Melecha, and that Melecha is Roshim. And Rabbi Yossi says Yechayev even for Sritos. You make two Sritos in Yechayev for Roshim. It's not, there's a new Melecha. And that Melecha, in the case of Srita, does not require a Tzura of Yad Yamin. And therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, you're going to be chayev from Leches Roshem v'yad Smol, because the definition of Yad Smol in our context is it a shinui as far as the Tzuras HaMelecha, not the shinui in terms of whether you did it the way you normally do it and whether it's unusual or not.
But,
yes,
but then it sounds like Roshem is based, at least so far, is like Siva, with broader definition. In which case,
yes and no. I don't know. Srita is very different than Ksiva. Let's say, taking the extreme case of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says you scratch out a line in a piece of wood, right, and you're chayev for, right? In fact, if you remember Rashi Shita in terms of Rabbi Yossi in the Mishkan, right, as opposed to the Rambam Shita, is that the Rishima on the Kroshim in the Mishkan was not even letters.
Yeah.
So if that be the case, if you talk about the Tzuras Meleches Roshim from Rabbi Yossi's perspective, we're not talking about Yad Smol or Yad Yamin. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, but it also includes Yad Smol and Yad Yamin, and includes writing letters with Yo.
Correct.
So it includes everything. So what do I need Kosei for?
Oh, so why do I need Kosev? So if you take the Rama's perspective, so wait a minute, so here, let me just go over all the shiurim that we had so far to answer Alan's question. So we're going back to that. Just give me a minute. Let's see. So let's start with the Rama in Pirush HaMishnayis. The Rama says that if he writes two osios for the sake of a word, then he's chayev from Leches Kosev. In the same halama, forgetting it was Shabbos, he wrote two letters for the sake of matching, he's going to be chayev two chatos according to Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi is saying that why do I need Meleches Kosev? Because if he writes a ksiva for the purpose of communicating words, then he's chayev for Meleches Kosev.
And not for Roshim.
Now he went ahead and he wrote two letters for the sake of a meser, right, to communicate something, or to using it as a symbol to match two things up, like in the case of the Kroshim according to Rashi. Now he's chayv from Meleches Roshim. So it would mean, says the Rambam, that if he writes four letters, Behelem Achas, he's going to be chayv shtayim. If he writes two letters for the sake of Osios, of Milim, of Tevos, and he writes two letters for the sake of what? Of matching. Do you remember this Rambam? Maybe we can go through the Rambam. We have it opened up, so we don't even have to look for it, but it's right here. He's Chayv Shtayim. Now, that's according to the Magid Mishnah in the Rambam. Now you're asking according to the Bir Halacha. Let's see, according to the Bir Halacha, in the case of... Jesus, why do I need Surah? So if I write Surah, somebody's name. Oh, so now, what happens if he writes one letter, and that letter is the beginning of a word, and it symbolizes an entire word? What's that called? Not all at once, because I can't trake holy lomish. So that's called notrikin, right? Okay, so you can be chai for one letter in notrikin, correct? And that you would not be chai for Roshe, because you can't match one letter with itself, if you know what I mean.
All right.
What other cases? I'm just trying to rack my brain. So we have to go over the Bir Halacha once more with Roshem as a Tolda of Kosev, and Roshem as a separate Av, and Tziurim, and so forth.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh, all right.
So Rav Yossi has to leave out one of the other Olas Melachos.
So that's an interesting question, Michael. We can ask that question many times over. What do I mean many times over? Okay. Let's say, according to all Rishonim, except for Rabbeinu Chananel, Notea is an Av Malacha. And yet it doesn't appear in the Mishnah. And the Gemara seems to assume that Bishol is an Av Malacha, again, leaving out Rabbeinu Chananel. And that's not listed in the Mishnah. So there are many Avos that would really jack up the number beyond 39. And you remember that Tosa at the beginning of Bava Kama makes a big deal about this, because Tosa says that I can give you Asra B'Shem Notea, I give you Asra B'Shem Bishul, and I don't have to mention neither Zriya nor Afia. And Tosa, based on that, says that there are not 39 Hasros, but there are 41 Asros, right? According to Rav Yossi, there are 42 Asros, right? Because you add Notea and Mavashel and Roshan. So that has to all be worked out. The real place to look for that is the sugya that we did back, I think it was even before Elul, if it's possible, on Daf Mem Tesam in Beis. Because the Gemara there gives a special significance to the number 39. And the Gemara says, if you look for the word Malacha in Tanakh, you'll find it 39 times. Correct? So the number 39 is a secret number. You know, I'm not talking in terms of Bnei Yisoskar and all that, but there's a special meaning to the number 39, and that's how the Gemara actually analyzes where do we have this Kabbalah that there are 39 Malachas. In fact, the Yerushalmi went a step further, and the Yerushalmi said that for every one of those 39 Avos, you have 39 Toldos. So the number 39, so Michael, your question would definitely be a pressing question. Actually, the Maskana of that Gemara, the Gemara suggests two alternative shitot, views, is that the number 39 is not based on the amount of times it says Malacha. You know. Okay. But simply that there were 39 Malachas in the Mishkan. But there's no special significance to them. Rabbi Osi, you have page 3 here. Again, I left. Alan, were you able to get to Mark McComas?
I'm right in here.
So we'll get you a copy of it. It might be out there on the shtetl. Okay. Now, let's go back to our discussion about Rav Yossi and writing Biyad Smol. Okay, then? Okay. The Rambam, as we said in Pirush HaMishnayos, tells us that you can, just review for the third time, that you could be chayav two different chatos, according to Rav Yossi, for writing four letters Behelim Achas. Why? Because there are two different malachas. One's called Kosev, and one is called Roshev. Okay. Now, my question to you is the following. I'm going to ask you this question as if I was talking to a child, if you don't mind. Don't be insulted. But just for the sake of clarity. If you were watching this guy, who's writing two letters and then another two letters, would you be able to know up front that the first two letters were written Bitoris Meleches Kosev and the second two letters were written Bitoris Roshem?
No.
I don't know. I would have to do I don't know if science has ever developed this, but in the science fiction movies they used to have these things where you could read someone's brain. You know, they put the white, what are those things, the electrodes on his brain. Have they ever actually developed that? Yeah, I remember when I was a youngster, mamish in my early teens, there was a World's Fair in New York City. I don't think there's been one since then, as far as I know. In fact, what's left for the World's Fair is the globe. You remember that, the atlas, and also a terrace in the park, which is one of my favorite places to go for a chassana. So that's what's left from the World's Fair. Now I heard that the phone that they showed us at the World's Fair, I think it was in 1964 or something, yeah. What year was it? Yeah, that phone is now actually being developed, where you can talk to someone on the phone and look at them at the same time. You know, that the WhatsApp and all this kind of stuff. But for the last 50 years almost, that was science fiction, even though they showed it to us at the World's Fair. But why do I mention the World's Fair? So I wanted to suggest the following. That what I saw at the World's Fair, that you could read someone's mind, doesn't exist in halacha, but yet it does exist in halacha. What do I mean? There's something called a gilui milsa. What does a gilui milsa mean? That sometimes if I analyze a person's actions objectively, I don't have to read his mind, but the action itself speaks louder than words. For example, the Gemara says in Masechta Ksuvos, as far as Ritzicha is concerned, he threw a stone, and there were nine Knanim and one Yisraeli, or nine Yisraelim and one Knani, and he actually hit a Jew, unfortunately, and he killed a Jew. Is he chay for Ritzicha? So the Gemara wants to know whether there's Kavanas Ritzicha in such a case. And the Gemara says it all depends on two different principles. One is called the Parish Meruva Parish, which applies in a case of Naidi if they're moving, and the other is called Kavua Kemetz Hametz if they're stationary. So I remember when I taught this Gemara back in Mevaseret, I asked the guys in the Shia, does his mind work based on... does his Kavanas Ritzicha depend upon whether or not it's called the Parish Meruva Parish? He has no clue. He doesn't know, and most of us don't know, what the difference is between Kol Kavua Kemetz Hametz and Kol the Parish Meruva Parish. But the answer is, there's something called a Kavana, which is, again, I can't say this in English, so I'll say it in Yiddish, Vas Liknin Emaisa. You know, it's inherent in the action. The action itself defines the Kavana. We mentioned this, remember when we spoke about what's called Aspasta, in terms of whether he needs a Kavana L'shem Ketzira, or he's Chayv Shtayim for Ketzira and for Zriya. Okay.
Psikresha, we mentioned it.
Perhaps Psikresha already defines the Kavana. Sometimes the action defines the Kavana. So, Rabosa, I want to say something pretty way out. Because of the Chomer Akushi, I don't understand this, Rabbi Yosef Yad Smol. I wanted to say the following. According to Rav Yossi, we have two malachas. We have Malachas Kosev and Malachas Roshem. The man wrote, according to the Rambam, four osios. I have no clue what he had in his mind. Okay? So I'm going to try to apply certain standards of halacha to figure out if it's Kosev or if it's... or so the Rambam writes, if he writes a Yud and then a Dalid, and then he writes a Yud and then an Aleph, so he's chayav for Kosev for the first one, because Yud Dalid forms a word, and if he writes Yud Aleph, etc., etc., he's chayav for Malachas Roshe, because there is no word Yud Aleph. You remember this whole discussion that we had. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that according to Rabbi Yossi, since we have two Malachas here, and the Nafkamina is whether he's chayav achatos for this, or for that, or for both, we have nothing to know whether that's it's this or it's that. Is it Kosev or it's Roshim? The only thing we could have is some sort of Gili Milsa. So I wanted to suggest the following. Put up your dukes and fight me on this one, because I admit that there's room to fight me on this. That maybe in Rav Yossi's frame of reference, Yad Yamin and Yad Smol is a Gili Milsa. If he writes with his right hand, that's Ksiva. If he writes with his left hand, that's Rishima. Why? Because nobody writes with their left hand if they're righties. I shouldn't say nobody, but you know what I mean. And therefore, if he writes with his left hand, that's called Roshem. The halacha defines it as Roshem. Meaning, I don't care what's in his brain. You know, he may tell you if you have a lecture, you know, if you do a study of reading his mind, he may say he had this in mind, he had that in mind. I don't care. Loch Patli. But I care about the objective maisa. And the objective maisa is that there are two malachas. There's a malachas kosev, which tolerates only yamin, because who writes with their left hand? And there's a malachas roshem, which tolerates bein b'yamin and bein b'smol. Because if you do sritos with your left hand, it's just as good as doing sritos with your right hand. So I want to suggest that if he writes two letters with his left hand, and in psychological terms, I would say, Vos Epis, why is he writing two letters with his left hand? The halach of Gili Milsa kicks in, and the mechanics is that we define that as a Roshe. And therefore, he's Chayv Mishum Aleches Roshe.
So again, getting back to our original question, why does the Gemara assume that you could be chayev for writing with your left hand according to Rabbi Yossi? I mean, after all, who writes two letters with their left hand? And the answer is that now I define it, I'll be din as Meleches Roshem. Why? Because I never really understand the difference according to Rabbi Yossi when he's writing Osios between Kosev and Roshem. Narvas, I'm going to define it based on Gili Milsa. And one Gili Milsa might be Yud Dalet as opposed to Yud Aleph. And there's another Gili Milsa which is called Yamin versus Small. If he's writing with Yamin, then until proven otherwise, I assume it's Ksiva. If he's writing with his left hand, I have no choice but to assume that he's doing Rishima. You'll ask me, but I knocked on his door and I said to Mr. So-and-so, what did you have in mind? So he gave me a whole story. I didn't have Rishimas in mind, I had Ksiva in mind. I'm not going to ask him about what he had in his mind. I'm going to ask about the objective Maisa. That's what I call Gili Mils.
What was your original statement? He writes four letters.
No, the Rambam's statement was that he wrote four letters. He wrote Yud Dalet, Yud Aleph, let's say. And Rambam has other examples. So he's chayv two chatos, according to Rabbi Yossi. One chat is for Ksiva and the other for Rishim. So I'm saying
he would have to come that with his right hand. His left hand, he'd only be...
Right. Let's say he wrote all four letters with his right hand. That's the case in the Rambam.
Okay.
So the Rambam says that he's Chayev Shtayim. So I asked the following question. Why is he Chayev Shtayim? You tell me the first two letters, since they form a word, that's called Kosev. The second two letters don't form a word. It's a symbol. It's Roshem. I said, wait a minute. Dial me off. Why don't we ask the guy? Or if we ever develop this science fiction method, let's do a study of his brain and figure out what he had in mind. So what I'm suggesting is that the Rambam, in his understanding of Rabbi Yossi, because of the very close proximity and similarity between Kosev and Roshem, is operating within the halachic universe called Gili Milsa, which means that we look at the objective Maisa, and we don't look at what he had in mind. And if that be the case, then perhaps we could say that that's the difference that the Gemara has in mind between Yad Yamin and Yad Smol. If he wrote two letters with Yad Yamin, that's a Gili Milsa that he's doing Ksiva. If he writes two letters with his left hand, that's a Gili Milsa that he's writing for the sake of Roshem, because Roshem could tolerate even writing with the left hand.
We said that if he writes two letters that don't make a word with his right hand, it's not Ksiva.
Right. Well, let's say he writes two letters with his left hand that could possibly make a word.
It's still not Ksiva.
Why? Because he wrote it with his left hand. Yeah. And by writing with his left hand, we generate a Gili Milsa of Roshem. And therefore, writing two Osios, according to Rabbi Yossi, generates a Chiyuv Mishum Roshem. Okay. Rabosai, let's go back to the drawing board. We have the Ramah and we have the Bala Truma. And as I said, I'm very excited about this. Because according to Ramah, we're dealing with Ksiva Biyad Smol, we're dealing in a very narrow, restricted area called Meleches Shabbos, Meleches Machshevos. And this is called the Shinur. Says the Ramah, if he wrote a get with his left hand, the get is kosher. If he wrote tefillin with the left hand, it's kosher. And on the other hand, we have the Balatrumas. We're not dealing be'ofer mitzumtam with the din of Meleches Machsheves as a din mesuyim and Shabbos. We're dealing with universal ksiva. I would like to suggest that when we take Meleches ksiva under advisement and we study it carefully, perhaps we can break down Meleches ksiva into two parts. That Meleches Ksiva has a dimension that is Shabbistic, which means a din mesuyim in Shabbos, and there's another dimension of Hilchas Ksiva that's universal, that is defining Ksiva as an abstract concept in Kol HaTorah. Why? I have a Magid Mishnah. Before we get to the Magid Mishnah, let's go to the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah on Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis says that you're not always chayav for Meleches Kosev, even if you wrote two Osios, and even if you wrote the right two Osios with the right hand. It also depends on what you used to write with, the material that you use to write with. And therefore, about seven lines down from the top, it says, Kosav v'mashkin, v'meperos, v'avakdrochim, etc., etc., pot. Why? Because it's a dover she'enu miskayim. Okay, I saw these words, dover she'enu miskayim, and right away what pops up in my brain, almost like a like pushing a button on a computer, what shows up on the screen, is are we dealing with Melechas Shabbos, or are we dealing with Kol HaTorah Kulo? Meaning, what would be in Hilchas Gittin, if a man writes a get with May Peros, or Mashkin, or Avak Drachim, etc., etc. So let's do a shtickle research, a research project. Let's first begin with the Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos. That's always a good place to start. So we're opening up to Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tezvav. Seth, can you just throw this on the side? I use it as kind of scrap paper, but it still has, you know. Okay. So what does the Rambam say? Ein akosev chayev, etc., etc. I don't know why he adds Veroshem here, because he probably means the told of Kosev, whatever it is. Bidovar Aroshem. So the ink, or the... How would you say, instead of ink, like the material that you use to write with? I mean, ink is just one... is too specific. I need something more general. Is there, can you look that up in the thesaurus for me? No, I don't know. There must be a word that I'm looking for. Anyway... if you had to spell it out in many different words, it would be the Dover Shekosev Bo, that's the material with which he writes. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the Rambam says it's got to be a Dover HaOmed, a Dover HaMiskayim. He gives you a whole bunch of examples. Dyo, Shachar, Sikra, Kumus, Kalkantum. I mean, you have to go through each one of these. Mechayotzume. Now, let's fast forward a minute. He says, I will Kosev the Dover She'en Rishumo HaOmed, Kigon Mashkin Umei Peros, etc. Pot. So Rabosai, I wanted to know, in my mind, is the Rambam saying something about Meleches Ksiva in Hilchas Shabbos, that you need a Melacha Miskayemes, and if you write with Mei Peros, maybe it'll last for an hour, a day, or I don't know how long. But, Ayin Shari Tzedek, and you'll see that there's certain types of ink that ultimately will fade away, and that's not a melacha miskayemis, that's halach in Hilchas Shabbos, call it meleches machsheves osre Torah, o dilma, or does the Rama mean that this is a universal halach? So where am I going to open up now? Hilchas Gerushin. So let's open up to Hilchas Gerushin, and we're going to look at Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, I believe it is, and the Rambam says, "Ein kosvin es aget ela bedover sherishumo omed, kigon dio v'sikra v'kumus v'kankantu v'chayotzimim. Avol kosav bedover sheino omed, kigon mashkin umed peros v'chayotzimim eino get." By the way, what does eino get mean in the Rambam? You have to know Perek Aleph and Hilchas Gerushin for that.
She's not me.
It's posel doraisa. It's not worth the paper it's written on. So Rabosa, I come back to my chakira. The halach of Dover HaMiskayim, is that a Shabbos halacha or it's a universal halach in Ksiva? It's a universal halach in Ksiva. Now look at the Magid Mishnah. And this is gonna boggle the mind. I don't understand this Magid Mishnah ki huzeh. The Magid Mishnah Hilchas Shabbos, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Dalet. Again, we don't have to go through the entire Magid Mishnah, but just the last part of the Magid Mishnah. I'm not sure what you mean. Can you give me just 1 minute, Zev, and I'll come right back. I just want to read the Magid Mishnah to show you what boggles my mind about this Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah in Halacha Tezvav, I may have said Halacha Yudalit, I stand corrected, Halacha Tezvav, after going through the whole business about Dover Shemiskayim, he says the following, Kfar Kasavti V'Perek Tes Halacha Yud Gimel Mishnah, that there's a Mishnah in Shabbos. Now look in the parentheses here, and I don't know if that's the Magid Mishnah or the printer added this, but I think he's right. Kuf Beis Amid Beis, the first Mishnah in Perek Abone. Muchachas, it's proven, it's clear from that Mishnah, de b'chol molecha Shabbos be'inon dover hamiskayim. Rabosai.
So
Is that a universal halacha or a Shabbos halacha? It's a Shabbos halacha. The Mishnah at the beginning of Habona tells you a chiddush about Melechah Shabbos. And the Rambam, based on that Mishnah, Perek Tes, is going to derive conclusions about Tzoveh, Melechah Tzoveh. That the Mishnah says, Zeh Klal, when are you chayev in Shabbos? That's only Osa Melechah Melechah Miskayevus B'Shabbos, chayev. That's a Shabbos halacha.
That doesn't preclude the fact that maybe you get it also.
Correct.
Oh, so that's what I want to know. Is it based on this Mishnah? So let's take a look in Perek Tes, the Hilchas Shabbos. Okay then? And I'm sorry, Perek Tes, what halacha did we say it was? The Magen Mishnah. Halacha Yud Gimel. Am I right? Does it say Halacha Yud Gimel?
It doesn't say.
Yeah, in mine it does, because you don't have the Frankel edition. Yeah, you should get a hold of the Frankel edition. I don't get a commission for that. It's just, it's a whole different...
It's too sentimental.
Ah.
Ah. If I had an yeshiva...
Right. Okay.
Hard to,
what did Rav Lichtenstein use? He used that Rambam?
I don't remember.
Yeah, find out for me, because I can't believe it. It's like primitive. You know what I mean? It's mamish like turning the clock back. Okay, so what did I just say? Perek Tes, Halacha,
Yud Gim.
Okay, good, Yud Gim.
Hatzoveh.
Oh, Hatzoveh. Okay, we don't have to read the whole Rambam, but the Rambam says, Ein Hatzoveh Chayov, Ad Sheyehei Tzeva HaMiskayim. Avol Tzeva She'eino Miskayim Klal, Kigon Shehevir Srak, O Shashar, Al Gabi Barzel. Right, Shashar is only something that will last on a Kosel, but not on Barzel, O Nechoshes, V'tzovo Potu. Now, if you take a look at the Magen Mishnah in Halacha Yud Gimel, the Magen Mishnah says the following. He says, "Eina tzoveh chayev, zeh nilman midin hakosev, zeh nilman midin hakosev, she'eino ela b'dover hamiskayev, kimavur b'perek yud aleph halacha tes vav, u'b'mishnah perek habone, zeh haklal." But again, Rabosai, look what he's doing. He's starting with the Mishnah in Perek Habona. He says that the Rambam therefore formulates the halacha in Perek Yud Aleph of Kosev, that Kosev has to be B'davar Miskayim. And he's saying that the Rambam therefore derived the conclusion that Soveya also has to be Meleches Miskayim. And basically what the Magen Mishnah is presenting here is that you start with the Mishnah in Perek Habona, and then you derive two different halachas, Kosev and Soveya. And the Rambam is going to equate, by analogy, Soveya to Kosev, and he's going to say that you need a Dovra Miskayim. Now, I don't get it. How could the Rambam derive conclusions from the Mishnah and conclusions that will impact on Meleches Tzoveya from a definition of Ksiva? Follow what I'm saying. If the Dovar Miskayim in Kosev, to the exclusion of Meperos, is a definition of universal Ksiva, then what right does the Rambam have to derive conclusions in Tzoveya? The Magen Mishnah claims that the Rambam in Tzoveya came to the conclusion that if you use Srak or Shashar for your Tzoveya, then you're Potter. Why? Where did the Rambam know this from? Says the Magen Mishnah, he knew it from the Mishnah. And he equated the Mishnah of Kosev with Meleches Tzoveya. The other way around, I should have said, right? He equates and derives Tzoveya from Kosev. Because with regard to Kosev, the Gemara, the Mishnah says, you need a Melacha Miskayemis. And he wrote with Meperos. And if he wrote with Meperos, that's not called a Melacha Miskayemis. Says the Rambam, therefore Tzoveya also requires a Melacha Miskayemis. And he was Tzoveya with Shashar. And that's not called a Melacha Miskayemis. What right does the Rambam have to derive those conclusions, to make those analogies? There's halach and ksiva, and this has tremendous implications as far as gittin are concerned. The Rambam Hilchus gittin perek dalet halach al paskins, that if you write the get with may peros, it's not worth the paper it's written on. It's galmish, it's eno get. And the Rambam holds that Ksiva requires a Dovra Miskayim. Okay, so Ksiva requires a Dovra Miskayim. If it's not a Ksav HaMiskayim, that's not called Ksiva. It's not called Ksiva as far as Shabbos. It's not called Ksiva as far as Get. It probably wouldn't be Ksiva in Hilchus Stam. But what right do you have to by equation derive conclusions about Soveya? Soveya is not Ksav. Soveya is a separate Malacha. Who says you have to do a Malacha Miskayemis? The answer to that is because Malacha Miskayemis is a principle that flows through all of Malacha Shabbos, has nothing to do with Kol HaTorah Kula, and it's predicated on Maleches Machsheves. Maleches Machsheves means a Malacha Miskayemis. But don't quote Maleches Miskayemis to explain why Kosev is not Chayev unless he writes with Sikra and Shachar, and if he writes with Meperos, he's Potter. I'll tell you why he's Potter. Because Das Hasnik and Ksiva. That's a universal halacha. That's not an individual halacha. And I'll prove it to you. Because in Get, if he writes the Get with Meperos, is Eino Get. In other words, even the Rambah who said, if you remember, that Yad Smol is a specific, unique halacha in Shabbos, he, the Ramah, would have to admit that there are dimensions and conditions in Hilchus Melechus Ksiva that are not unique to Hilchus Shabbos. For example, he's potter on Shabbos not only for Yad Smol, but even if he wrote with Yad Yamin, he's potter if he writes with what? With May Peros. The Ramah is not going to say that May Peros has the same status as Yad Smol. The Ramah says in Hilchus Gittin that you could write a get be Yad Smol and the get is kosher, but the Ramah has to admit that if you wrote a get with May Peros, it's not a get, meaning it's not ksiva. So we have within the constellation of Meleches Ksiva, we have two different types of requirements. One Tanai in Meleches Ksiva is a universal Tanai, and that's called, you know, Dovra Miskayim as opposed to May Peros, and that's going to apply wherever the Torah requires Ksiva. And then there's another halacha, which is a Shabbos halacha, that if you write with your left hand according to the Ramah, that's a unique Shabbos halacha of Meleches Machsheves. Now, why is it that that's beautiful in and of itself? That's gorgeous. That's wonderful. I mean, there really are two dinim in ksiva, in Meleches Ksiva. There's one din in Meleches Ksiva, which is just an application of a universal rule, and that's called May Peros, Dovra Miskayim. And there's another din in ksiva, another tanai in ksiva, which is unique Shabbos halacha according to Ramah of Yad Yamin as opposed to Yad Smol because of Shalok and Dark. That itself was worth coming to Shia just to hear that. But I want to go a step further, and I want to ask a question on the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah wants to say that there's an equation here between May Peros in Ksiva on Shabbos and Soveya with Shashar, because it's not going to last. Who says? If, as we've proven, the requirement of Dio as opposed to Meperos in Meleches Ksiva has nothing to do with Meleches Machsheves, what right do you have to derive conclusions about Soveya? And the answer must be that the Rambam had two different sources. He has one source which is a universal source, and you'll see it in Hilchus Gittin, and the Rambam's going to derive from Masechta Gittin that, you know, if you write something with Meperos, it's not called Ksiva, and the Torah says V'kosavla. And then the Rambam has the Mishnah Abona. The Mishnah Abona is not talking about Meperos. The Mishnah Abona is talking about a unique halacha in Shabbos. And there's a unique halacha in Shabbos that a malacha in Shabbos is only a malacha if it's a malacha miskayemes. And the Rambam has every right to derive conclusions for that about Meleches Soveya. But not the way the Magid Mishnah says. That just like May Peros is not chai, it doesn't generate a chiyuv in ksiva, so too Soveya with Shashar is not going to generate a chiyuv in Meleches Soveya. All right, Rabbosai, I wish everyone a meaningful fast, or as they call it here in the LC, a fast. I can't even pronounce it that way. You know, they laugh at me when I...
Who accepts all these English?
This organization is more British than American. I have to tell you, Gedalia, we're outnumbered over here.
So you don't object to the principle, you just object to the way it comes.
Correct. I'm saying I don't understand how the Magid Mishnah had the audacity to say that the Rambam was
the Mechayev of the Rambam.
Derived this conclusion about writing with May Peros from the Mishnah of Habona. It's not the Mishnah of Habona. The Mishnah of Habona is talking about something totally different. It's talking about Meleches Machshavos. It's not defining this specific Malach of Ksiva or this act of Ksiva and what constitutes Ksav.
So,
all right then?
So it's a fast, it's not meaningful.
I sent you an email